You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Prayer is getting in touch with God. It's like children getting in touch with their father.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Of your Spirit, teach us all how to pray, and help us to pray alertly, with confidence in your love, and trust in your Son Jesus that he has paid the full price for all our sins. Make our lives to sparkle, O God, with your grace, that we may pray joyfully in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ was always telling people to pray. He always prayed himself. If Jesus Christ prayed to his Father, how much more do all of us need to pray all the time? That argument might make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but it is not the one which Jesus Christ himself used to induce people to pray. He turned it around. I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and everyone who knocks will find the door opened. Which one of you fathers, when his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you, afflicted with all the ills of humanity, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Jesus Christ was always talking about his Father. Practically all the stories he told had something to say about his Father. He was amazed to find that people experienced difficulty in accepting God as a Father. How much more will your Father give from heaven the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's good reason for the inability or the refusal of people to recognize God as a Father. They don't recognize Jesus as a Son of the Father. He may have been a good man, they say, but we cannot bring ourselves to believe that he was what he claimed to be, the eternal Son of the Father. He may have been a Son of God after a fashion, but he was not the eternal Son of the Father. If God is a Father, he would not have sent his Son to be a man who would have to take what Jesus took. A father would not send his son to die, even for the sins of the world. St. Paul called that the offense of the cross, which causes people to stumble because they cannot believe that God would do something like that to his son. Some people have the idea that if God were a father, as Jesus said he is, he would not punish anybody. If God loves as a father can be expected to love, they tell us, why doesn't he just let us do as we please? If I may say so, that's a mighty funny way to think of a father. Even human fathers, if they are real fathers, teach their boys to grow up as real men and their girls to grow up as real women. Fathers correct and even discipline their children, showing themselves to be real fathers who really care about their children. If human fathers fulfill their mission in the world by acting as fathers instead of grandfathers, how much more can God be expected to correct and discipline his children in order that they may grow up to be mature adults instead of remaining children all their lives? The fact is that we learn a lot more about being human fathers from looking at God than we learn about God from looking at human fathers. No wonder so many human fathers fail to take care of their responsibilities when so many human fathers pay so little attention to God. God, our Father, as Jesus himself described the Father to us, is neither permissive nor repressive. He does not let his children do as they please, nor is he out to irritate them into rebellion. He is a father who loves and cares as a father can be expected to love and care. He loves and cares enough about the world to send his own and eternal Son to die for the sins of the world. He loves and cares for that Son of his enough to raise him from the dead and declare him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. God is a real father. You begin to see that when you look at Jesus Christ, when you listen to Jesus Christ, and when you learn to love Jesus Christ. The greatest thing about God our Father is that he forgives. He forgives even though we do not deserve his forgiveness. He forgives for the sake of his Son Jesus Christ, who laid his life on the line for us all. He died to atone for our sins. We can live again in the forgiveness of our sins through the love and care of a real Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father too, as we come to believe in Jesus Christ and accept the forgiveness of God for the sake of Jesus Christ. I say to you, said Jesus Christ, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is a remarkable way to describe prayer to a God whom you know as a Father, asking and seeking and knocking. It's not just asking, but seeking and knocking at the door. Prayer is not informing God of what is going on in the world. I've heard a lot of prayers like that, where people seem to be telling God what was in the morning newspaper. Don't worry, he knows what's going on. He knew it before it happened. He knows what you're going to ask before you ask. Still, he expects you to ask. Not only to ask, but to seek. And not only to seek, but to knock on his door. Prayer is getting in touch with God. It's like children getting in touch with their father. As Martin Luther once said, prayer helps us to be grateful for the things that we receive because we recognize that they come from God. There's a big difference between that way of life and the other way where we just take everything as if we had it coming to us. Maybe because we're so good, so upright, or so faithful that we don't have to ask God for anything and don't have to thank him for anything either. Jesus did not tell people to pray to God because that's the way to get what you want. What you want could just be the worst thing that could happen to you. I have known people who have finally achieved their ambitions and were the unhappiest people in the whole world. They got nothing but trouble, and they caused a lot of trouble for other people to boot. Real prayer is response to the grace of God, who's a lot greater and a lot more knowledgeable than all of our whims and desires. Real prayer is lining up with the will of God and letting him do what he knows how to do best. Jesus Christ told people to pray to God. Your will be done on earth as it most certainly is done in heaven. That's a wonderful way to live. To pray to God with the confidence that his will is good and gracious, full of compassion, with all of the hard-headed purpose that you could possibly expect of a father who has the best interests of his son or daughter at heart and in mind. Pray in that way, with full confidence in God as your father, with full acceptance of the forgiveness of God, and full recognition of his gracious will, as well as of his intelligent purpose. And you will find out something great. Whoever asks, receives. And whoever seeks, finds. And whoever knocks will find that the door has been opened by God himself. A lot of suggestions have been offered by a lot of people about why people should pray. The only one that really works is the reason offered by our Lord himself. God is a father, and you're going to expect him to act as a father. He may not give you everything you want, but he will most certainly give you everything you need. He will respond to your prayer in ways you never dreamed of. He will come through for you as he did for Moses, David, Elijah, Isaiah, and Jesus Christ himself. His own son prayed that the bitter cup should be taken from him. The son added, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." The son knew his father, and he knew how a father responds. The father let him die, but he raised him from the dead as the Lord of heaven and earth. That's a father, acting like a father. Human fathers can be expected to show love to their children. If a boy is hungry, his father's not going to give him a stone, and certainly not a serpent, to satisfy that hunger. If a boy asks for an egg, a father's not going to hand him a scorpion. Jesus Christ was always illustrating the truth about his father with homely little illustrations like this that people could understand very well. He said, "If you, who are not altogether unselfish, and have been known to do things that are outright unjust and even wicked in your own interest, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father." Though he could say, "I and my Father are one," Jesus Christ always prayed. Actually, he prayed because he and his Father are one. He knew his Father, and he prayed. For the same reason, Jesus Christ ordered all of his followers to pray. He begged them to pray. Because God is a Father. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed when he was weary after a busy day of teaching and healing. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed all night. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ went to a lonely place and prayed all by himself. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ withdrew from the multitudes and went to the wilderness to pray. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ went up to the mountain and into the hills to pray. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed alone. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ took his friends along to pray with him. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed before meals. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed at critical moments. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed in Gethsemane. Knowing his Father, Jesus Christ prayed on his cross. One day, Jesus Christ was praying in a certain place. When he ended his prayers, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." The disciples were not asking for a new prayer. They wanted to learn how to pray. In response to that request, Jesus gave them the words that we now call the Lord's Prayer. It begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven." The very first words tell us that this was not a new formula which would work better than the old formula. It's not a prescribed set of sentences to mumble repetitiously. Not just words to be memorized in order to be mesmerized. The whole prayer begins with an attitude of heart which fully accepts God as a Father. Knowing Jesus Christ, you can accept God as a Father. Knowing Jesus Christ, you can accept the forgiveness of God as a son or daughter in his family. Knowing Jesus Christ, you can know the glory of life and how wonderful it is to let the will of God have its way in your life. Knowing Jesus Christ, you can pray with a full heart. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Knowing Jesus Christ, you can ask God for daily bread and for forgiveness and for protection and for everything else that God has to give because he is a Father. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father from heaven give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Prayer is not a matter of feeding God the information to see what he's going to do with it. God is not the bellhop or the errand boy of the universe. He is a Father who can be expected to do the absolute best for his children who pray to him. Some people do not pray at all. Others pray only in an emergency. Some pray only for material blessings. Others pray only for themselves and not for others. Jesus Christ told people to pray for the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God whom Jesus Christ promised to send to his people. He does things for people which they cannot do for themselves. He gives things to people which they cannot get in any other way. The gifts of the Spirit are the stuff of which life is made. I know Christians who do not pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not talking now about some gift of the Holy Spirit, but for the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. The Spirit gives wisdom, not just information or intelligence. The Spirit gives patience to treat others with respect, gently but firmly taking things that life brings without losing self-control. The Spirit gives peace, which is not a retreat from the conflicts of life, but sanity and calm in spite of everything. The Spirit gives love, which is the assurance of God's abiding favor, his forgiveness despite many failures. The Spirit gives power, so that when faced with a problem that seems impossible to answer or to solve, or events or circumstances with which it is most difficult to cope, the way becomes clear and the solution becomes evident by the power of God in ordinary human lives. Jesus said that God will give his Spirit to anyone who asks him for that gift. God gives a lot of blessings in answer to prayer, but none so great as his Holy Spirit. This is life. This is the way to live. Trusting God as a Father, accepting his forgiveness for the sake of his Son, Jesus, and receiving the power of God's Holy Spirit. God wants you to be aware of him all the time. That is the gift of his Holy Spirit. God wants you to trust in him all the time. That's the gift of his Holy Spirit. God wants you to live hopefully with an eye on the future. That's the gift of his Holy Spirit. God wants you to expect the glory of eternal life. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to reduce weight, you'd better lay off some of that food. If you want a strong body, you'd better exercise. If you want God's best gift, his Holy Spirit, you'd better pray. Keep on asking. It will be given to you. Keep on seeking. You will find. Keep on knocking, and God will open his doors to you. If you, being sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father from his heavenly glory give his Holy Spirit to all who ask him? Amen.